Good morning. I wish I could have been with you all this morning, but unfortunately I can't. I'm in lockdown, I'm in isolation. But isn't it great that we have technology, that we're able to gather together spiritually, if not physically, through technology to be able to look at God's word together this morning. And so how about I pray and then we'll jump into God's word. Let's pray. Father God, I do thank you for the passage we're about to read and look at together. We ask that you would be working in us by your spirit, to help us understand your word, but more than that, to apply it to our hearts and minds. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, back in 1965, Mick Jagger and Keith Richards of the Rolling Stones, they released their song, Satisfaction, recounting how they struggled to find satisfaction anywhere. The commercialism of the day promised so much, yet it didn't deliver. Even chasing after sex and women didn't ultimately satisfy them. They couldn't get no satisfaction, no, no, no. And it seems like their song hit a chord. When it was released in the US, it screamed straight to number one. And it hit number one in the charts of at least nine other countries that same year, including here in Australia. And I suspect the reason is because it touches on a perennial human experience. We all crave satisfaction, yet it proves so elusive. Is that your experience? Have you ever found yourself feeling truly satisfied? Truly full? Or have there always been these nagging dissatisfactions that seem to just spoil the whole thing like a fly in your drink? You see, the world holds out to us so many things that will supposedly satisfy us. They hold out to us relationships, sex, a new car, a promotion, the next holiday, retirement, the latest phone, the latest game, the latest toy. And yet, have you experienced the disillusionment that comes when you get them and the satisfaction that they promised just recedes before you like a mirage? Feels like you grasp it for a moment, but then it just runs through your fingers like sand and leaves you feeling just as empty as you did before. Have you ever found yourself thinking or saying to yourself, I can't get no satisfaction? Well, if that's you, then today's passage is for you. Because in it, we see that the Lord Jesus himself sees our emptiness. He sees our dissatisfactions. But more than that, he offers to fill us, to fully satisfy us in himself. And so if you're feeling empty and unsatisfied, maybe even if you're struggling to feel satisfied with Jesus, come with me as we look afresh at what Jesus offers to us in himself. Well, the first thing we see in this passage is that Jesus sees our emptiness and is moved to compassion by it. Have a look at chapter 8, verse 1. During those days, another large crowd gathered, since they had nothing to eat. Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them away hungry, they'll collapse on the way because some of them have come a long distance. This little section, I think, reveals so much about Jesus. Firstly, imagine how engaging Jesus must have been to keep such a large crowd enthralled for 3 days without food. He must have been more magnetic than any conference speaker I've ever come across. I mean, when I'm trying to listen to someone, if I'm not fed like every 2 hours, I'm just gone. But not Jesus, apparently. Now, we don't know exactly how or why the crowd got into this situation. Did they just come out of curiosity, just expecting to see the latest sideshow going through their territory, expecting to be home in a couple of hours for dinner, but then they just got hooked and didn't want to leave? Well, whatever it was, they're in a bit of a situation. They're starving. They're literally empty. And they still have a fare hike home. But Jesus isn't oblivious to this. He sees their situation. He sees their emptiness, and it stirs his deep compassion. You often see people's characters come out in the face of the struggles of others. One of my amazing privileges I get as a minister is getting to see you guys respond when others are struggling. I get to see people making meals for new mums. I love getting people contacting me, looking for numbers of the elderly or the isolated so that they could call them, so they can connect relationally with them. I love hearing you pray for one another. When you show compassion in the face of the needs of others, that's a beautiful thing. And I think it's beautiful precisely because that's the way God designed relationships to work. And as the perfect man, we see the same beauty reflected in the Lord Jesus. When he's confronted with a hungry crowd, he's moved with deep compassion for them. And he's about to act on that. But for the moment, I just want to stop and talk about Jesus' compassion. Because this isn't some isolated incident for Jesus. This is what he's like to the core of his being. Which means this is how he acts towards you and I as well. Do you know that this is Jesus' attitude toward you? Now, I don't know what you might be going through in your life. I don't know what areas of your life feel like a gnawing emptiness, a hunger that just can't be satisfied. I don't know that. But Jesus, he does. He sees into the deepest parts of you and I. And he sees those areas of our souls which we feel are the most empty, which we all long to be filled, to be satisfied. And as we see, he does something about it. Do you know that? Do you feel that? Now, I ask that because it's not always easy to believe that or feel that. I think some of Satan's favorite lies that he loves to whisper in our ears is that Jesus doesn't know what you're going through. Or that he doesn't care what you're going through. It's beneath him. Well, this passage refutes both of those lies. Jesus sees the crowd's emptiness. He sees your emptiness. But more than that, he's actually deeply moved by it. Seeing your heart doesn't repel him. It actually stirs his compassion. Because he longs to draw near to you. He longs to fill those areas of emptiness in your heart. This is what we see as we keep reading. We see this. We see that Jesus offers this empty crowd complete and utter fullness. Pick it up with me from verse 4. His disciples answered, "But where in this remote place can anyone get enough bread to feed them?" The disciples, they're utterly bewildered about how they're possibly going to fill so many empty stomachs. Which seems odd, right? Because two chapters before this, in Mark chapter 6, Jesus and the disciples have faced this exact situation before. And in that instance, Jesus manages to miraculously feed over 5,000 people with 5 small loaves of bread and 2 fish. It makes us wonder, why aren't they immediately going to Jesus, "You know what you did for that other crowd? Can you just do that here? That'd actually save us a lot of issues. That'd solve the issue." Maybe it was that even though in Mark's account, it was only 2 chapters before this, it could have been a couple of years between these incidents. Maybe they'd just forgotten. Or maybe it's because this crowd is full of Gentiles. The 5,000 he fed in chapter 6, they were all Jews. So maybe the disciples are thinking, "Well, yeah, of course he fed a crowd of Jews. That's who he's come for." But is he going to do the same thing for a crowd of Gentiles? That would kind of fit with this section in Mark chapters 7 and 8, which really explore the place of Gentiles in God's kingdom. And answers the question, does Jesus' blessings extend to them? Either way, I feel like we can't be too harsh with the disciples. After all, I suspect we all have this tendency to forget God's faithfulness in the past. Now, I don't know about you, but there's been lots of times in my life where God's really come through for me in some situation. But then down the track, I find myself in another struggle and I start freaking out. And then when God comes through for me again, it's like, well, why didn't you remember that I came through for you before? I don't know. It's as if I'd forgotten his faithfulness. Can you relate to that? Well, the good news for us and for the disciples is that Jesus is amazingly patient. Look at what he says. He patiently helps them see that he can provide for them. Pick it up with me from verse 5. How many loaves do you have? Jesus asked. 7, they replied. He told the crowd to sit down on the ground, and when he had taken the 7 loaves and given thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people, and they did so. They had a few small fish as well. He gave thanks for them also and told the disciples to distribute them. And we find out in verse 8 that the people were satisfied. And afterwards, the disciples picked up 7 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. Jesus miraculously provides bread and fish for a crowd of over 4,000 people. And what's interesting is, I mentioned before that this is a crowd of Gentiles. Last week we saw, or 2 weeks ago now, we saw a Gentile woman come to Jesus saying that she'd be satisfied with some crumbs. Yet here Jesus isn't just feeding the Gentile crowd crumbs, is he? This is an absolute overabundance of food here. 4,000 people who hadn't eaten in a couple of days. Now you imagine how much food they're going to be able to put away if Jesus lets them loose on an all-you-can-eat buffet. And yet even after that, there's still 7 basketfuls of broken pieces left over. This crowd absolutely gorges themselves on Jesus' provision and they can't reach an end to it. He fills them to overflowing. They literally couldn't fit another thing in. They're that full. For those who are hungry and empty, Jesus completely fills them. Some of my fondest dining memories growing up was going to Sizzler. Now, who here can still remember Sizzler? If you're younger than me, then my commiserations, you've probably missed out on that because they're all gone now in Australia. But back in the day, if you had a family, that's where you went. You'd skip lunch that day because you knew that an all-you-could-eat buffet awaited you and you wanted to make sure that you got your money's worth. You could order meals, but we never did because we knew that the salad bar was plenty for us. I remember my go-tos, of course, was the cheese toast, utterly amazing. But then pasta with Alfredo sauce, parmesan and bacon bits, seafood salad, potato skins, and then about 3 litres of soft serve ice cream just to finish it off. Then every time we went there, you'd gingerly walk out of there, trying not to throw up because you'd stuffed yourself absolutely full. That's the crowd's experience of Jesus. They were empty. 3 days without food empty. And yet Jesus fills them to overflowing. In this account, Jesus gives them physical bread. But this points forward to the greater spiritual reality that he offers to those who come to him. Because the reality is, when Jesus finds us, we're all empty. Our emptiness comes because we've turned away from our Creator. We've turned away from the source of life, the one our lives were meant to orbit around like the planets around the sun, bathing in his warmth. Yet we wrested ourselves from his orbit and away from his warmth And everything that we turn to for life proves cold and dark and empty. If we look for life or fullness in our careers or our possessions, in our relationships, whatever it might be, if we look for fullness apart from Christ, of course they're going to ultimately leave us feeling empty. They aren't the source of life. They can't fill us. But the beautiful thing that this passage holds up to us is that Jesus can. Because he's the bread of life. And because he was broken for us on the cross, he can offer us forgiveness. He can offer us restoration to our Heavenly Father. He can connect us again to the source of life. And more than that, he's progressively remaking us into what we were originally designed for. That's how he fills us. That's how he satisfies us, by reshaping our desires so that we look for our satisfaction in him. And you know what? The beautiful thing is, the more we look to Jesus to fill us and satisfy us instead of other things, the sweeter those other things taste. Because now they're actually in their proper place. We're not looking to fairy floss to take the place of a full meal. But if you're anything like me, I feel like we can all slip in and out of finding our satisfaction in Christ. There will be times where, if we're honest with ourselves, we don't actually find Jesus that satisfying. But can I suggest, in my experience at least, we don't find Jesus satisfying precisely when we're just going through the motions. We're still nibbling on Jesus, as it were. But what we're really trying to gorge ourselves on is anything else. There have been times in my life where Jesus has let me go on like that for a while. And as he's done that, I've gotten emptier and emptier. But he's done that to build my appetite for him. He's let me try and get my fill from other things precisely to show me that they don't satisfy and to whet my appetite more for him. And then he's drawn me to a place where I basically come to him starving. And it's those times he's shown me experientially how full he can make me. The beauty of finding my fullness and satisfaction in him. I had that last year when I went on a spiritual renewal thing for ministers. I went into that week spiritually starving. Yet I was able to find some space to feed on Christ in his word, to let him fill my heart with praise for him. As I prayed and as I reflected on who he was. That's what he ultimately wants for all of us. He wants us to find our soul's delight in him. And so can I say, if you're feeling empty, come to him. Cry out to him. Confess that you've been looking everywhere else. And then ask him to help you find your satisfaction in him. And if it feels like it's not working, perhaps Jesus is just whetting your appetite more. So keep pressing into him. Keep asking him to help you delight yourself in him. Because as this passage reminds us, Jesus sees our emptiness. And yet he delights to offer us himself to fill us. Let's pray that he would today. Let's pray. Father God, I do thank you for your word. We thank you for Christ. Thank you for giving us the bread of life.
Look, God, we thank you that in him we can find satisfaction, that we can find fullness for our souls. But Lord God, we confess that so often we find ourselves looking anywhere else. Please forgive us for that, Lord. And instead, draw us back to yourself. Grow our appetite for Christ, for more of him. And as you grow our appetite, please satisfy us with your Son. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to respond to God's word now, so I can invite you to stand and we'll sing our final song.